You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Well, you get your Bibles ready. I'm not going to have you turn there right now, but I'll get you to turn there in just a moment. Orchestra will let you come around. Don't you love the orchestra? I just always ask them to sort of play along, and they just play, even if they don't, they've never heard that song, they just play along, and I appreciate them so very much. Appreciate you, your faithfulness to God's house. We're moving into winter time, and it's the devil's going to tell you some night at 5 o'clock, stay home, it's dark, get tucked in bed, get ready for the next day, but let's be faithful all the month of November. November is such a great month. We and our staff are going to spend quite a bit of time tomorrow covering every single day in November. We have something planned every day for God's people, and then December and the big musical. Brother Romero, I don't know, right over there, I've been listening to the orchestra and the choir on Saturday mornings and Sunday night. It is going to be out of this world. It's just, this place on Saturday night is packed, and on Sunday night it's packed. And I'm really looking forward. I hope you're all involved. If you play an instrument and you're not involved, get involved. Get involved. See Brother Romero tonight, and that'll be great. And I hope that all of you will be involved in these great events. I want you to know that in my life, probably like your life, I have favorites. My favorite Old Testament Bible story is that of Jacob. And, Joseph. It's chapter 37 through 50 of the book of Genesis. I just love to read that story, how he is betrayed by his brothers. And one day he revealed himself years later to his brothers when he was second command in Egypt. He put them all in order and said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into bondage. Just a tremendous story. I love the story in Genesis 37. My favorite proverb is Proverbs 23. That was the day we were married on the 23rd, but that chapter deals with money, it deals with child rearing, it deals with marriage, deals with everything. So Proverbs 23 would be on my tombstone one day too. I'm not sure my tombstone would be big enough for all this. I love, in the Old Testament, my favorite Old Testament book is Nehemiah. I love Nehemiah. My favorite New Testament book is Philippians. My hospital psalm is Psalm 86. I read it in the hospital this week to folks as I went and visited and checked on people. And my favorite New Testament chapter in the book of Acts is chapter 20. We're in that favorite chapter tonight, chapter 20 of the book of Acts. I was in chapel on Tuesday of last week sitting next to Brother Evertson. And the preacher said, turn to chapter 21 in John. And he leaned over and said, that's my favorite chapter. My favorite chapter is just the one before that, chapter 20. And I reread it this week. I reread 21 to make sure that it's still my favorite. But you're 21 and I'm 20. I hope you have some favorites in life. You know, Psalms, there's so many Psalms. I think of Psalm 1, Psalm 23, Psalm 100. I memorized those in junior church. And I remember those days and memorizing those passages. And then I remember when I was in college, Psalm 27:14, wait on the Lord. And again, I say, wait. And I remember when I failed, I did poorly on an exam, I claimed Proverbs, Psalm 12:1, help, Lord. I said, God, you're just going to have to help me. I want to stay in college. If I do poorly or if I do well, I'm staying in college. I'm going to get a degree. I'm going to serve you with my life. But help, Lord, where I'm weak. Help me with my job. Help me to get a job. Help me. Just help. I need help. And I hope that the Word of God is that way to you. I can remember so many passages of Scripture I memorized as a boy, and they come flooding my mind right now. I think of Romans 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And I remember memorizing the Romans Road in Bible college and all of that. But tonight is Acts chapter 20, and I'm going to ask you to read with me verse 28 through 38. I didn't want to lose these guys yet. I was going to have Brother Flood read it for us, but we'll read it together. We won't read responsive. We'll read straight on through Acts 20, 28 through 38. I'll stop reading because I always put words in that don't belong there. And I always bring a word up from the next line down up into that. I mess everybody up. So I'll get you started and you're on your own. Let's read it with gusto, with fervor, with enthusiasm. Let's stand together, please. Acts chapter 20, verse 28 through 38, long passage. Let's read it together. Ready? Begin. Take heed, therefore. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, to hear these people read the Word of God, it's such a blessing to my heart. I thank you for the North Valley Baptist Church, all it's meant to my wife and I. I thank you for the faithfulness of your people. Lord, they served you today, teaching classes and speaking. I thank you for the fact that they drove buses and worked with bus routes. I thank you for the nursing homes, I believe 15 they're in today. I thank you for the two new churches that are starting now in just a couple weeks nearby. I pray your blessing upon them. I thank you for our shut-ins. Lord, I received that letter this week from Jerry and Bobby Benefield, former members, and now they watch our Sunday night service. They love Alvin Martinez, they said, and they sent a generous check. I'm so thankful for them. I'm thankful for Leanne Manley being back in church tonight. And how you strengthen her body, continue to heal her is our prayer. I pray for the Galvan family as they're in such desperate need tonight with their husband, Daddy. And I pray that you be very comforting to them. I pray for Brother Art Flores. He's had this stroke and God touch his body. I think of Brother Floyd and Shirley Worley with their cancer. God strengthen them. I think of Brother Dennis Pence with the surgery he's had and recently, and of course, the removal of the leg, and Cassie the same. Think of the stroke that he's had recently. God, there's so many needs in this church. And we thank you that you're an all-answering God. You answer all of our prayers. Bless this dear church. I thank you for those that are having surgery this week. There's several that don't want it announced, but several missed surgery this week. I pray you guide the surgeons as they operate on our members. Bless our time together around your word is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for reading so well. I want to call your attention to verse 36, 37, 38, then go back to verse 28. When he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. The Apostle Paul knew that he was coming to the end of his life. He knew that he is soon going to be arrested, taken to prison. He knew that the time of his departure was at hand. He knew that his head was going to be severed from his body. He writes it in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And he realized that this is the last time he's going to see these people. He has journeyed there many times to preach to them. And now he said, I'm going to be leaving you. And he knelt down and he prayed for those people. I can't imagine not being the pastor of this great church. I don't like to think about it, but I have to. And he wept sore. They all wept sore. And he fell on Saul Paul's neck and kissed him. I don't want to embarrass my grandsons or my sons-in-laws or my son tonight, but I'm not an Italian, but I realize that my days are numbered. And I realize that I don't know if I can live to be my dad's age, it was 93, or if God's going to take me before then. Took my sister at 72. I don't know when God's going to take me, but I kiss him always on the neck or on the shoulder or somewhere. I'm not a weirdo. I love those boys so much. I get to see Riley and Hudson. I love them. They allow me to kiss them. I know it sounds strange to you, but I don't want to ever not wake up some morning and think I wish I had. I don't know if you think that afterwards, but the Bible says this. Sorry most of all for the words which he spake. For they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him under the ship. I want to speak to you tonight for a few moments. It won't take me long. I just have 10 little words written down in my Bible. I've studied the passage for quite some time. But Paul's farewell address to these Christians. And I don't believe I'm dying. I believe I'm going to be here to torment you a long time.
Amen.
Thank you, Peter. One crazy nut. We'll get you back to the home in just a few minutes, Brother Peter. But we're having a good time, aren't we? Yeah, we're going to play marbles tonight when we get home to you and we'll visit you there. But the Apostle Paul said, you're sorrowing for me. I'm not going to see you again. This is the last time I'm going to be with you. I thought this week of all my preacher friends that it was their last message to preach. Jack Kyle chose as his last message. He didn't know it was his last. It was a Wednesday night service. He preached on the inerrancy of the Word of God in King James Bible. His last message. All of us will have a last day to live. I want to be so right with people. The older I get, I get people saying things that are not true about my life on the internet, and they send me letters and hateful letters. I don't understand that. I don't understand some of the letters I've received in recent days of people that are just hateful, wishing ill on my kids and my grandkids. And I don't have an ought against anybody in life. I don't understand how people could be so hateful. And Paul knew he was leaving these people. And he said, I want to remind you, number one, verse 28. What's the first two words in verse 28? What's the first two words? I want to remind you, this is my last time I'm coming. I'm going to tell you that in a few moments. My last time I'm going to be. What's the first two words, class? What is it?
Take heed.
Take heed. Pay attention. Pay attention to yourself. Pay attention to your marriage. Tonight we have folks in this auditorium or folks that are listening. Your wife is crying out. She wants to be a good wife. She's crying out. Would you help her? Your husband's crying out. Would you get faithful to God's house? Take heed. Take heed to your marriage. I found this out about marriage that it doesn't last forever. My precious wife's brother, I think it's okay to say this, and her older brother died last December with cancer. Then this year, she's the second born. My wife has had cancer. And now her third brother is a pastor of a church, and he has what looks like a terminal cancer. And our hearts ache. I remember when he and his girlfriend, they fell in love and they were dating, and I think they got married at 17. They were 18, just kids. None of you kids are getting married at 18. First of all, pastor doesn't marry teenagers. You have to be 20. Tabitha made it by 2 days. She turned 20 and said, Dad, I'm ready to get married. So she got married. Tiffany made it by a few days as well. But you know, why don't you pay heed to your marriage? What's wrong with you men? What's wrong with you women? Why are you so argumentative? Why are you so, I have to have it my way. I'm going to do it my way. I know I'm certain I'm that way with my wife. I'm certain, but I never try to be. I want to do it her way. I don't know if she understands that. But I don't want to argue over one thing in life. Take heed to your marriage. Take heed to your children. Kids, your mom and dad have a responsibility to guard your life. I know old time religion, fundamentalism, well, that's so legalistic. Well, you can say all that you want, but I'm telling you, your dad has a responsibility to get you down the aisle ready and give you over to a mate. Your mom has a responsibility to get you down the aisle and give you over to a mate, and you leave your father and mother and cleave to your wife, and you two become one flesh. They have that responsibility. They must correct you. They must teach you. Oh, your parents don't have a lot of rules. Your parents have very few rules. I'm amazed. I have at Stanford University the rule books. We copied them all out. There's 1,200, 8.5 by 11 pages of rules. Here's where you can park your bike. Here's where you cannot park your bike. Here's where you go to class. 1,200 pages. Our rule book is basically about 10 pages. Go to bed at night. Get up in the morning. Go to work. That's it. You know, it just, come on. You say, well, you know all these rules at Bible College. Brother John, you ought to join Bible. We have fewer rules today than we've ever had before. You could have made it through without being kicked out. He didn't get kicked out. He's John O'Malley the ninth, so he's not getting kicked out. The 10th is coming to college here. I'll tell you that right now. Why don't you take heed to your walk with God? I get up every morning, I read this book, and I pray, and I try to really walk with God and get to know God and pray for your needs and my needs. But I always feel like it's so weak compared to what God really wants and demands of my life. Take heed to your walk with God. Do you read the Word? Do you have a schedule? Do you have a place? Do you meet God? Do you meet God and pray and speak to Him? Do you confess your sins? God tells us to confess our sins, to confess our faults. Are we doing that tonight? Take heed. I'm not coming back to see you again. I won't be here next week, next month, next year. I'm going to be gone. But I want you all to take heed. Secondly, he says this. No, take heed to all the flock over which the Lord hath made you by the Holy Ghost overseers. That's the word episkopos. It's a Greek word that means you're to oversee. That's part, one of my five titles as a pastor. I'm to oversee the Sunday school. I'm to oversee the bus ministry. I'm to oversee the parking control. I'm to oversee everything. Now I have men that help me and ladies that help me in those things, but I need help. And that's what you are doing. You are to oversee. What are you to oversee? The flock, the little flock that God's given to you. I saw Cindy come through here tonight. She's named after my wife. And Celia, her little sister, is not through here yet now. Little James just was born. My wife and I was talking about that family this morning. Chiago and Natalia are such marvelous young Christians. They've been saved now 8 years. We're so proud of them. But little Cindy was just being, I said, I've missed you the last few weeks. And she told me mommy was having a baby, you know, and all this stuff. Oh, I'm so great. There, she's my flock. Karina, she's my little flock. All these little kids that come, they're my flock. Amen. That's why I go to Ellen Ritchie Chapel. Those little flock, those little kids, Brother Daniel, your little daughter in Ellen Ritchie Chapel is such a blessing. So sweet as can be. All your kids. I love Ellen Ritchie Chapel. I could hardly wait for this Wednesday. We weren't together last Wednesday, but we're there together. And then I love your high schoolers, and I go because they're part of my flock. And I go to college. I can't wait. It's been 2 weeks since I preached in college chapel. I was in the Philippines, and then we had missions conference. And I could hardly wait to preach, and I know the message God placed on my heart to preach to you. And then Wednesday night, we're finishing our series that we're in. You're all my flock. You have a flock. You have a son. You have a daughter. You have boys. You have girls, whatever you may have. You have a flock. Oh, minister that flock. Pray with your children every single night. Pray as a family, or go by their bed and pray with them as they go to sleep that night, that God would give them good rest and God would wake them up refreshed and excited about the new day, and be concerned with your flock. So he says, I want you to beware, and then I want you to be aware of your flock. But then he said, I want to, verse 32, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, give you a good inheritance. Get back to the Bible. I'd like you to go home tonight and decide that tomorrow morning you're going to get up and read your Bible. You don't have to do it for an hour or two. You don't have to do it for 30 minutes. Do it for 10 minutes if you're just getting started, or 5 minutes. You may read the proverb of the day, the 31 Proverbs, and so today was the, whatever the day is today, 26th. And so you read Proverbs 26 this morning. Tomorrow, Proverbs 27. And then on the first, you read Proverbs. And just read a proverb a day. And then just pray. If you're not praying at all, pray 5 minutes and read your Bible 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and do that for a week or two. Then add a little bit of time with that. And then get a journal and journal your prayer request and the people you're praying for, and underscore that when God answers all the requests that God has prayed for you, you're praying to God, and be sure that you have time for the Word of God. Amen. Paul said, after my departure, one day I'll depart. I'd sure like to, if God lets me, roll back the curtain and look down from heaven, seeing God's people taking heed to themselves. I'd love to see people taking care of their flock. I'd love to see people reading their Bible. I'd love to see people, look what he says in the next verse, verse 34. Yea, yourselves know that these hands have ministered in my necessity. Them that were with me. He said, I worked. I didn't expect you folks to pay me. I worked with these hands. I want to be very, very careful how I say this. If you want Bible college bad enough, you'll get a way to get a job and pay for it. It is here easier in the Silicon Valley than any. Go to In-N-Out Burger. They're advertising. They'll start you at $23 an hour. There are men across this country that have been working for 15, 20 years in factories that are not making $23 an hour. Go get a job. Amen. Brother Ox and I believe this is true. I just saw you sleeping somewhere. I heard you sleeping a few minutes right there. Would you just wake him up? There. How are you, Brother Ox and I don't think you've ever slept one time when I have preached, but I don't believe we've ever lost a girl over finances in 29 years. I may be wrong. You know who we lose over finances? Boys. Young men. Fellas, if you can't pay a school bill, now think of this. I'm glad I'm off on this. Think of this about school. School's about $900 a month. But that includes an air-conditioned room. You try to rent a room around here for $900, just a room, you'll be paying that and beyond. And it has a heater in it.
Amen.
And it comes with 3 meals a day.
Good.
And Peter's going to join college pretty soon because he's going to be making money. And it includes a full-time education and a degree. And pastors are flying in here. Brother Cooper flew here from North Carolina last week. Some other preacher, they're flying in here all the time. Look, you say, I want you to come work for me. You've got a job. If you want a job, Brother Everson, it's not that there's not a need. There's a need. People want you. You know, for $900 a month, you ought to be homeless and collect from the government. You'll make money. Don't do that, but work. God wants you to work. This is the workingest church I've ever met in my life. I was thinking about those bus drivers this afternoon and how hard they work all the time.
Amen.
I saw three buses. We ran out of parking. They were parking way down by almost by Rotten Robbie, the last one was. Had to walk to go get that bus. No complaint. Taking those boys and girls home. Those boys and girls, most of them have no knowledge of God. They just no knowledge of God, but they come. And they listen. They know they're loved here. Notice what else he says. He said, I want you to know that I want you to learn how to give. I've shown you these things, verse 35, how that laboring you ought to support the weak and remember the words of our Lord Jesus. I said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. I want to go to heaven knowing that you folks really know to give and not looking to get, but to give. Deliberately look over these two other verses because he says, verse 29, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. One day if our Lord tarries, one day if the Lord tarries, he's going to take me home. Don't vote in a compromiser.
Amen.
Don't vote in a man that wants to get rid of Sunday school. God gives his people, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians chapter 4, Romans chapter 5. God gives us, there's 9 gifts, and one of those gifts is the gift of the teaching.
Yeah.
About 12% of the gifts. There's 12% in this room. God has gifted you with salvation, with the gift of teaching. And then a pastor stands up and says, we're not going to have Sunday school, so you can't even exercise your gift. Don't let that happen in this place. I'm having Brother Remus count up. I don't know if we have 200 Sunday school teachers or not with the A, B, C, D ministry. He's figuring it out for me. But all of you that are teaching the Word of God, you're handling God's word and teaching people what God has taught you. Don't buy into a pastor that's going to drop Sunday night and they're all over the country dropping it. And our country's not doing better. We need more churches open where people can get saved. I got saved on a Sunday night. I'm glad my pastor kept the church open. Don't ever say, well, you know, it's a Silicon Valley. It's too hard for them to come. Don't buy into that. They come to the 49ers game. They come from other states to the 49ers game. Hey, they'll come if you got something to give them. Don't get rid of this great choir. Don't get rid of this orchestra and get rid of this pulpit and have just a little jazz band up here. Paul, he's coming to the end of his life, and he says, I know I'm not going to see you again. Stand firm. Take heed to yourself. Take heed to the flock. Take heed to the Word of God. Take heed to giving. Take heed to work. Take heed to the grievous wolves that are going to come in. Pay attention.
Amen.
Keep this thing sound in the Lord. Our Father, I love these people. And I know they know it. I love them so much. I'm so grateful for them. They've allowed my wife and I to stay all these years. And Lord, I pray that the greatest years would be ahead if you should tarry. Prepare this church for one day when they'll make that decision. Who will pastor them? Prepare their hearts. God, may they not talk about it, but may they just pray about it. I pray that, God, great things would happen at North Valley in the closing 2 months of this year and 2026. It's been such a great year, 50 years of ministry. The museum that we have here, all of it. But God, help us to look above and beyond in 2026 to do more for the cause of Christ, not less. May we not rest on our laurels and rest on our history of 50 years. God, I know there'll be trying years ahead of us if you tarry. There'll be difficult years. But I pray, dear God, that you would wake us up to keeping this church vibrant for thee.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.